Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The verse before us teaches us the glorious truth that it is possible for us to stand against the enemies who stand against God and against us. The wiles of the devil, it says. This phrase both identifies our enemy and how he works. We're told that our enemy is the devil. We'll talk more about that in future messages. But for now, let me just say that he is the enemy of God. He stands against everything God stands for. He hates God and wants nothing more than to destroy God and install himself as the Lord of all. According to the Bible, the devil is the source of evil. He determined that he would be God and that he would exalt himself above the throne of the one and true God. We have an account of this in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 17. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? You notice all the I wills there. I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit, I will ascend, I will be like. Satan was defeated, cast out of heaven, along with a third of the angels. Those fallen angels are demons, and Satan still does all he can to dethrone God and to rob God of his glory. That is our enemy. He is ancient, he is powerful, and he is deceptive. He is experienced. He has been attacking, deceiving, and defeating the people of God since he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He has had over 6,000 years of practice, and he knows what he is doing. I'm not giving him any glory. I'm simply telling the truth about our enemy. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. We're not dealing with some little character with a red suit on and a pitchfork. That's what the world would want you to believe. We are dealing with an ancient, powerful, deceptive enemy who is experienced and is attacking. Paul says, though, that God will give us power. He will give us power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, it tells us in Ephesians 6. He'll give us the power so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is an ancient word meaning scheming tricks. Matter of fact, it is the word that gives us the word methods. Satan's methods and his tricks and his schemes to deceive the people of God. Satan's methods. Matter of fact, that word was used to speak of a wild animal that silently, cunningly, it stalks its prey and then unexpectedly pounces on it, devouring it. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. This is who we're dealing with. This is the way Satan is. Stalking its prey and then unexpectedly pouncing on it, devouring it. As I said, I'll say more about Satan and his schemes a little later on, but for now, just remember that Satan has always been and always will be a schemer. He's a trickster. He's a scheming trickster. And he has a plan to trick you and I. But the scripture tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God. God has equipped us for the spiritual battles that we face by giving us his armor. We're to put on his armor. The armor that I'm speaking of is listed in verses 14 through 17. We'll go into that in further messages. Every piece of the armor of God is designed to protect the people of God from the attacks of the enemy. In the next messages, we'll talk about each piece of the armor of God. We'll learn what it is and what it does for us in our lives. But in this message, I want you to consider the words armor, whole, and put on. The word armor refers to the equipment that God has provided for us to wear in the day of battle. There is truth to wear as a belt. There's righteousness to protect the heart. There's shoes to protect the feet. There's a shield to deflect the arrows of the enemy. There's a helmet to protect the head. And there's a sword to use to engage the enemy. All of this has been provided to every believer so that we might walk in victory. The armor. Put on the whole armor. The word whole suggests that every piece of the armor of God is essential, brothers and sisters. To gain victory over the enemy, we can't put on a few pieces. Many of us, we have a problem with that. We only put on a few pieces. We leave a few pieces off, put a few pieces on. We go to bed, we leave it hanging on the side, we take it off, we put it on. You can't take a few pieces off and expect to achieve success. We must wear every piece all the time. If we do not, we will be attacked and we will be defeated. And we are. You don't see a soldier in battle taking all his gear off and putting it on the side and hopping into bed. They keep their whole armor on all the time. They have their gun with them all the time. The armor, the whole armor, and it tells us to put it on. To put on the whole armor of God. Put on. It's in a tense that suggests that when we put on the whole armor of God, we put it on once and for all. The idea is that we dress for the battle and we never take off the uniform. We never take it off. We never take the armor off. When we put on the armor of God, we ought to leave it on all the time. We ought to be constantly dressed for spiritual warfare. For brothers and sisters, that is what we are in. Spiritual warfare. There's no days off in this war. There's no vacations in this war. Every day is to be spent on the front lines of battle, engaging with the enemy in vital spiritual combat. God has equipped us for the battles that we face. He has given us everything we need to stand against the enemy and to enjoy his victory day by day. Still, it is up to us to wear the armor that we have been given. It's up to us to put it on and leave it on. It is up to us to be sure that every piece is in place. And if we don't obey God's command and wear the armor he has provided, we have no one to blame but ourselves when we suffer defeat. The text tells us that you may be able to stand. Notice, put on the whole armor of God so that word that, that's a little purpose clause, a little purpose word there, that you may be able, for this purpose, you put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Take that what goes before that word that and what goes after it. And if you don't put it on, you're not going to be able to stand. Point blank. That we may be able to stand through the Lord and what he provides, that causes us to stand. The word able has the idea of power, permission, ability. We're able to stand not through our own power, but through the work of God in our lives. It's His power. And He gives us the ability to stand. That word stand is a military term. It means to hold a critical position during a time of enemy attack. It is the image of a soldier refusing to yield even one inch of ground to an attacking foe. That's the whole point. No, I don't want to get into the army yet. I was going to mention about the shoes. A soldier refusing to yield even one inch of ground to an attacking foe. It is not the image of someone on the offensive, but rather it is the picture of a soldier on the defensive, protecting the ground that has already been won. For us, this phrase suggests that our enemy, the devil, desires to take what we've been given. That's why it tells us to be able to stand. Satan wants to take the truth. He wants to take our doctrine. He wants to take our testimonies. He wants to take our churches. He wants to take our families. He wants to destroy our marriages. He wants to our children. He wants the spiritual power that we've been given. He wants everything God has given us. He wants that spiritual power that has been given to us to be null and void, for us not to put on, to do the very opposite. But yet, God is able, through His power, to enable us to take our stand against the attacks of Satan. He can enable us to stand and protect everything that we have been given. When Satan attacks, we are made able to stand. We do not have to give ground. We do not have to be defeated. We do not have to lose the battles of life. As a matter of fact, this man of standing is illustrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was tempted by the devil in Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, Satan was the one on the offensive. Jesus merely stood on the word of God and refused to yield. And He will enable us to do the same thing. Turn with me to Matthew 4. We'll look at a couple of verses there. How the Lord was in battle. How He defended Himself against Satan in battle. The Lord is led to the wilderness by the Spirit, beginning at the top of Matthew 4. The Spirit takes the Lord to the wilderness to be tempted. The tempter comes to Him, and first thing He does, He says to the Lord, "If You're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Notice how the Lord stood. He quoted the Scripture. "It is written." Brothers and sisters, if you would learn anything in this message, learn that that is how you fight Satan. It is written. It is written. That is the battle that you face every day. The thought comes to your mind, you have to be, "It is written." The Bible says. That's why it's so important to read your Bible, to know your Bible, to fellowship with those who will teach you, cause you to understand the Scripture. To ask the Holy Spirit day by day to illuminate you to the Word of God, that He bring light to the Word of God that you will understand it. You fight the battle against Satan. It is written. It is written. It is written. Notice in verse 4. He answered, "It is written." Then Satan continues. And he says to him, "If You're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written." So here's Satan. So he's perverting the text. Here's Satan quoting the Scripture. The first time, he's not quoting the Scripture. The second time, he's quoting the Scripture. Says to him, "If You're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written." Now here's Satan. He's going back and forth with you. And brothers and sisters, that's what you'll deal with if you engage with people that are part of cults. It'll be back and forth. They're saying it's written, and you're saying it's written. Better know your Bible. "If You're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the sun." So here's Satan twisting the Scripture, perverting the Scripture. And in verse 7, Christ says to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord God." And then Satan, in verse 8, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And that's exactly what he'll do with you, brother and sister. He'll show you all the different kingdoms of this world, whatever your cup of tea is, whatever it is that you would idolize. He'll tell you, you can have that. You can have that. He'll show you what part of the world it is that you love. Is it theater? Is it music? Is it passion? Is it money? Is it success? Is it marriage? Whatever. You fill in the blank. And Satan will say, oh, you can have that. If you just fall down and worship me, in verse 9, then Jesus said to them, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left them, and behold, angels came and ministered to them. Then the devil left them after Christ did battle with them, with the word of God. Brothers and sisters, learn your Bible. Learn your Bible and learn it right. Learn it correctly. Don't rip verses out of context. Don't make it mean something it doesn't mean. Try to make it mean something it doesn't mean. What is the original intent of the writer? When he wrote it, what did he write it for and who did he write it to? Always keep it in context. What does the whole Bible teach? What is that book teaching? What is the chapter teaching? What is the verse before and after teaching? Dig in. Dig in. Know the scripture. Hold fast. Refuse to yield. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the church at Thyatira in Revelation, but that which you have already have, hold fast till I come. Hold fast. You have the word of God in your hand, brother and sister. You're hearing the word of God right now. Now apply the truths that you've heard. Learn your Bible. Know your Bible. But the battle says, the saying, it is written. Those in the battle say, it is written. It is written. Constantly back and forth with the scripture. If it's not Satan tempting you, a demon tempting you, it's your own flesh still. This body of death, bringing doubt, bringing fear, doubting. The Lord says you're forgiven. Not really. You don't believe him. The scripture says you're forgiven. The scripture says you have eternal life. I can lose my salvation. The scripture says you have eternal life. And it goes on and on and on. With cares, anxieties, worries, you just fill in the blanks. And you always answer whatever that thing is coming against you with the scripture. The Bible says. The Bible says. The Bible says. The Bible says. And my friend, if you'd be listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, the Bible says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. For the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But whoever comes to me, I will in no wise turn away. Cast all your cares upon him. You that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. For it's written. See, I'm quoting to you, unbeliever, the words of Scripture. Now I would pray that the Holy Spirit would regenerate you and grant you faith that you would hear these words and believe them. And child of God, brothers and sisters, if you're listening to this message, I would pray that you dig into that Bible, that you learn that Bible, that you would be in that Bible every day, that you would know it inside and out, and you would never stop studying it. Never stop studying it. You never get to a place that you have mined the depths of it all. You will never come to the bottom of the Scripture. You'll never get to the bottom of it. It's not a book that you finish once and then you put it on the shelf and you're done with it. It's the living word. And Father, we thank you for that living word.